So I want to share with you what I said on Shavuos night between Mincha and Maariv. The pasuk says, "Moshe Allah, when they came, Moshe ascended to Hashem. Vayikra Elu Hashem in Ahar Leimar. Hashem called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Ko Yisraimar leBeis Yaakov, Visagi leBnei Yisrael.' So shall you say to the house of Yaakov, and you shall tell Bnei Yisrael." Rashi is puzzled by the double expression. Some of the Beis Yaakov, Isagi the Bnei Yisrael, seems to be talking about the same people. And Rashi says that Beis Yaakov are the women and Bnei Yisrael are the men. Kosaymar is Amira, which is soft, a soft tone, and Saged is a harsh tone, harsh words. Rashi is a difficult pshat, because if you look into the psukim afterwards, we don't see anything harsh being said. Quite the contrary, everything seems to be very appealing. Recently, Segula Mekalo Amem, you'll be a treasure to me from among all the nations. You'll be a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. So Rashi's pshat is a very difficult pshat, and I'd like to offer perhaps another approach to why the Rebbeinu Shel Olam says to Moshe, "Ko Yisraimar leBeis Yaakov, Isagi leBnei Yisrael." This past week's parsha, Shavuos, was Matzah Shabbos. The parsha was Bamidbar. In parsha's Bamidbar, we have the parsha of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam telling Moshe to substitute the Bechorim for the Levim, meaning the firstborn were originally supposed to do the Avodah in the Mishkan. However, since they sinned by the Chet HaEgel, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam switched them out for the Levim. The Levim, who did not sin by the Chet HaEgel, they were now going to do the Avodah instead of the Bechorim. So we need to understand, I'd like to understand this on a deeper level, why was specifically the Bechorim that were punished here for their part in the Chet HaEgel, and why specifically the Levim took over. But there's another aspect we need to understand, is that in this small parsha, the word Li appears many times. The pasuk says, "V'hoyu Li HaLevim." The Levim should be to me, ki li kol b'chor, because to me are all firstborn. Higdashti li kol b'chor b'Yisrael, I sanctify to me every b'chor b'Yisrael. May odamat behema li yiyu ani Hashem. They should be to me, says Hashem. So there's something with this exchange of the b'chorim to the Levim that is represented by the word li, which is constantly repeated in this parsha. Interesting to note that the first time Bechira is mentioned in the Torah, which is in Parshas Toldos, when Yaakov asked Esav to sell him the Bechira, there also the word Li appears. Yaakov says to Esav, "Michra chayoyim es Bechiras chali, sell me like today your birthright to me." He also uses the word Li, which the pasuk, he could have left out the word Li. He could have said, "Michra chayam is b'chayroscha, sell like today your birthright." But he emphasized the word Li. In that pasuk, we also need to understand what the word chayam means. Michra chayam, sell me like today, or like the day. Sell me like the day your birthright to me. Rashi says that it means it should be as clear as day. It's a very interesting expression, "Michra chayoyim," sell me like the day. the Gemara Masechta Shabbos tells us that even though Kabbalah Satoira was supposed to be on the sixth day of Sivan, Moshe postponed Kabbalah Satoira by a day, and it actually took place on the seventh day of Sivan. So Gemara says, "My Dorish, what did Moshe Rabbeinu darshan that caused him to postpone the Kabbalah Satoira for an extra day?" So the Gemara says that Hashem said to Moshe, "V'kidashtom hayom u'machar, you should sanctify the Jews today and tomorrow." So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Well, ma'am machar leilo imoy, af hayom leilo imoy. Tomorrow," meaning Hashem compared today to tomorrow. He said hayom u'machar. He compared today to tomorrow. So just like tomorrow is a full day, it has a night and a day. So also, today also has to have a night and a day. And we don't have a night anymore because the night has passed already. So it must be that Hayyim doesn't mean today. Hayyim means the first full day, which is tonight. And then Machar means the day after that. So which means that Kabbalah Zatar has to be a day later. So he postponed Kabbalah Zatar because it needed to be a full day. It had to be Leilo Ima. It had to have a night also. So Tosfos asks Akasha, well, if Moshe Rabbeinu darshan is from a pasuk, then why does the Gemara say that he added a day midatoi, that he added a day from his own das? He added a day on his own. It was not on his own. He darshaned it from a pasuk. He darshaned something from a pasuk. Then that's what the Torah is saying. So why does the Gemara say that Moshe hoisav yom echad midata, that Moshe added another day from his own das? It's interesting to note that by the Chet HaEgel, we find Moshe Rabbeinu was very consistent with this concept that a day has to be a full day. We know that the whole Chet HaEgel took place because Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael that he was going up to heaven for 40 days. And 40 days came and he didn't descend. So Rashi says, what was the mistake? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't count the day he ascended because he meant 40 full days with Leiloi Imoy, 40 days with that have the night, the previous night with it. And Bnei Yisrael didn't understand that. They counted the day Moshe Rabbeinu ascended as day number one, even though it wasn't Leilo Imoy, even though it didn't have a night. So we see that there's a consistency here, where Moshe Rabbeinu insists that a day is not a day unless it's Leilo Imoy. And the whole Chet HaEgel came about because Bnei Yisrael didn't realize that. Had they realized that a day has to have Leilo Imoy, there never would have been a Chet HaEgel. So we need to understand this on a deeper level. By the Chet HaEgel, there are numerous things we need to understand. Number one, when Yisrael approach Aharon HaKohen, they say to him, "Kuma Seilanu Elohim, get up and make for us a God that should walk before us, because this Moshe the man, we don't know what happened to him." Why do they have to identify Moshe as the man? What does that even mean? They should have said, because we don't know what happened to Moshe. Moshe the man that brought us up from Eretz Mitzrayim, we don't know what happened to him. Why do they have to identify Moshe as the Ish? Later on, after they create this golden calf, it says that they said, "Eile Eloheicha Yisrael asher helucha me'eretz Mitzrayim." These are your God Yisrael that brought you up from the land of Mitzrayim. Were they out of their mind? They just created this thing. How can they possibly think that this is what brought them out of Mitzrayim? They just created it with their own hands. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he defends Bnei Yisrael to Hashem after the Chet HaEgel, he says to Hashem, "Lama yechra apcha ba'amecha asher etzeisu me'eretz Mitzrayim v'choyach godlo v'yad chazaka." Why would you get so angry at your nation that you took out of Mitzrayim with great strength and a strong hand? What kind of taina is that? Quite the contrary, that's exactly why Hashem should be angry. I just took them out of Mitzrayim v'choyach godlo v'yad chazaka, and now they're going to dance around the golden calf and say that that's what took them out of Mitzrayim? That's exactly why he's angry. What's Moshe Rabbeinu's taina? Why should you be angry? Why should you get angry at your nation? That you just took out of Mitzrayim with and Yad Chazaka. That's exactly the reason why Hashem is so angry. Now I have some random questions. In Parshas Toldos, the end of Parshas Toldos, the pasuk says, "Vayishlach Yitzchak is Yaakov. Yitzchak sent Yaakov. Yedach Paden Aram, and he went to Paden Aram. Elovan ben Besuelo Arami to love on the son of Besuelo Arami, Achi Rivka, the brother of Rivka, Aim Yaakov Esav, the mother of Yaakov and Esav." It's a pella of a pasuk, because the whole parsha was talking about Yaakov and Esav and Rivka and Yitzchak. We all know who Rivka is. Why does the pasuk have to identify Rivka as Aim Yaakov and Esav, the mother of Yaakov and Esav? And Rashi is bothered by this. And Rashi says, Aim Yaakov and Esav, says Rashi, Eini yodei amam alamdeinu. I don't know what this is teaching us. And this is, Rashi is even more wondrous than the pasuk. Usually when Rashi doesn't have what to say, he just doesn't say anything. Here Rashi comments and tells us, I don't know what the pasuk is telling me. So, I believe that Rashi is telling us something. In Parshas Vayishlach, we have the wrestling match between Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav. And when the Sar Shel Esav sees that that Yaakov has been victorious, so he asks that Yaakov should free him. So he says, "Vayomer Eilav Mashemach." So Yaakov says, "No, you have to give me a bracha first." "Vayomer Eilav Mashemach." So he says to Yaakov, "What's your name?" "Vayomer Yaakov." He says, "My name is Yaakov." "Vayomer the Sar Shel Esav says to him, Lo Yaakov Yeyomer Eilav Shemach. Your name should no longer be Yaakov. Ki im Yisrael. It should be Yisrael." Alechazam Sofer asks the kasha. We know that Yisrael represents Sarara, represents importance, whereas Yaakov comes from the word Ekev, which is a heel, which is lowliness. Why it seems that the Sar Shel Esav is so interested in Yaakov's greatness and Yaakov's importance that he says your name should no longer be Yaakov, it should only be Yisrael. Later on in the parasha, Hashem says to Yaakov, Shimcha Yaakov, your name is Yaakov. Hashem himself calls him Yisrael later. But nevertheless, Hashem says to him, your name should also remain Yaakov. So, does the Sar Shel Esav care about Yaakov more than Hashem does? That can't be. The Sar Shel Esav is saying, your name should only be Yisrael, which is importance and greatness. Hashem says, no, your name should be Yaakov also. How's this possible? How is it that it seems that the Sar Shel Esav is looking out for Yaakov's greatness and importance more than Hashem? Then the pasuk says, "Vayishal Yaakov ayomer." Yaakov asked and he says, "Hagidon Hashemach." He says to the Sar Shel Esav, "Tell me your name." "Vayomer," and he answers, "Lama zatishal shmi? Why would you ask my name?" What do you mean? Why would you ask my name? You just asked me for my name, and I told you my name. Why shouldn't I ask you for your name? What kind of question is Lama Zat Tishalish Me? Why would you ask for my name? And if the Pshat is, as Rashi says, that a malach doesn't have a set name. But not, that's not the case with the Tzar Shel Esav. We all know the name of the Tzar Shel Esav. This is the Satan. This is his name is Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. We all know his name. So he does have a name. We're now in the week of Parshas Nosoi. Parshas Nosoi is the longest parsha in the Torah. It has 176 pesukim. The longest Masechta in Shas is Masechta Bava Basra, which ends on Daf Kufayin Vav. Ends on Daf 176. The longest capital in Tehillim is capital Kuf Yud Tes, and it has 176 psukim. So the longest parsha in the Torah, the longest Masechta in Shas, and the longest capital in Tehillim all have 176. This cannot be an accident. We need to know what does 176 represent. As we read, the Haftorah is the Maaseh Merkava. It's the prophecy of Yechezkel, who saw the chariot of the Ribbono Shel Olam, he saw the Kiseh HaKavod, the throne of glory. And the way Yechezkel describes it, and we're not allowed to physicalize this in any way, but this is how he describes it, that the heavenly throne has upon it four images. One is the image of a lion, one is the image of an ox, then there's the image of a nesher, which is an eagle, and then there's the image of a man, Adam. Now, this is way above anything we could possibly understand, but nevertheless, it's part of Torah, and it definitely teaches us a derech avodah. The fact that we read it on Shavuos comes to tell us that there's something, that there's a connection to the Yontif of Matan Torah. Now, we know that the Heilige Baal Shem Tov taught Klal Yisrael that the avodah of a simple yid, whether it's he's saying the Aleph Beis, or he's saying a capital Tillim, or learning a pasuk of Chumash, is as choshev to the Ribbono Shel Olam as the big lamdan who's learning ketzos and nesivos. There's no difference. Their intent of both of them is to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, and each one is serving according to their ability. And if the simple Jew, all the simple Jew knows to do is say the Aleph Beis or say a capital Tehillim, then that's just as choshev to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to the Lamdan who's learning the most difficult sugis in Shas. Now let's analyze this for a moment. Now, can one say that? So, now let's say this big lamdan would decide, you know what, if that's the case, I'm just going to say Aleph Beis, or I'm just going to sit down and say Tehillim. Would that be acceptable? Obviously not. All the Baal Shem Tov is saying is that if a person is serving the Ribbono Shel Olam to their maximum ability, then it's as choshev to the Ribbono Shel Olam, this person's maximum ability, just like this person's maximum ability. But if a person is underperforming, then it's definitely not choshev. If the big lamdan would sit down and say the Aleph Beis, or learning, or say Tehillim all day, it would be a waste of his time. Not only a waste of his time, it might even be considered avodah zarah. It's a foreign service. It's not, this is not the service that he is supposed to be serving Hashem. He's supposed to be serving Hashem with a much greater service, because he has greater abilities. And this is what Chazal say: Echad hamarbe ve'echad hamamit uvilvad sheichaven libo l'shamayim. Whether one does a lot or one does a little, as long as one's intent is for heaven, that's all that counts. Meaning, if that is the person's maximum ability, then that is what is chashav to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The same applies with time. There are people that have the time and the patience to sit and learn Torah the entire day. And then there's a person who can't afford to sit and learn Torah all day. So he has to go out and work. But when he has a free moment in the morning before he goes to work, and when he comes home from work, he learns Torah. Those 2 hours of Torah are as chashuv to the Ribbono Shel Olam as the other yid who's sitting and learning all day, because each one is performing to their maximum ability. Now, if the lamdan would say, the person who has the ability to sit and learn all day would say, well, if 2 hours is good enough, so I can also waste away the rest of my day and I'll just learn an hour in the morning and an hour at night. Is that acceptable? Of course not. It's avodah zarah for him. It's a foreign service. That's not the service that he is supposed to be serving Hashem with. The same applies to tzedakah. You have a person that's a gevir and he can give $1 million to tzedakah. And then you have a pauper that all he can afford is a nickel. That's his maximum ability. Is there any difference to the Ribbono Shel Olam between this person's nickel or this person's $1 million? No difference whatsoever. Because everyone is performing according to their maximum ability. If the gevir, though, will say, well, if a nickel is enough, I'll give a nickel too. Definitely not acceptable. Echad amarbe v'echad amamit uvavad sheichav an libo l'shamayim is dafke, and everyone understands it is only when one is performing to their maximum ability. If someone underperforms, for that person, the avoida of underperformance is avoida zara. And we find this by, there's a carbon called the carbon oila v'yoyred. Carbon that goes up and down, meaning there's a carbon that has a sliding scale. A person did an aver, he has to bring a carbon chatas. So the pasuk says, if he can afford it, he should bring a bull as a carbon. If he can't afford a bull, he should bring a lamb. If he can't afford a lamb, he should bring a bird. If he can't afford a bird, he should bring a flower carbon. So, now, let's say the gevir will say, you know, if I can get away with a flower carbon, I'll bring a flower carbon. What do I need to spend money on a bull for? It's not acceptable. He can't. He can't do that. Because that is not his service. The Ribbono Shel Olam wants every person to perform according to their maximum ability. That type of carbon is called carbon oil of yoyed, a carbon that ascends and descends. It has a sliding scale. Perhaps the reason why the longest and perhaps one of the most difficult Masechtas in Shas, Masechtas Bava Basra, has 176 psukim. And then the longest parsha in Chumash, which is much easier to learn than the most difficult Masechta, also has 176 psukim. And then you have the longest kapitel in Tehillim, which is much easier to say than to learn the parsha and the Torah. If someone doesn't have the ability to learn one says Tehillim, also has 176 psukim. The fact that they're all equal, same amount of psukim, comes to teach us that whether one is saying Tehillim or one is saying is learning psukim in the Torah or one is learning the most difficult Masechet in Shas, they're all equal, as long as they're performing to their maximum ability. And the number is Kuf Ayin Vav. The number of all of these is 176, because Kuf Ayin Vav is Rosh HaTevis, Korban, Oile V'Yoyret. It's a sacrifice that has a sliding scale. It depends on a person's ability. As long as the person is performing to their maximum ability, that's all that Ribbono Shel Olam wants of us. But if we're underperforming, we need to know that it's a type of avodah zarah. It's a foreign service to the person that is underperforming. That's not the avodah that the Ribbono Shel Olam is expecting of you. Now, we find that Ribbono Shel Olam compared to a lion. Pasuk says, Aryeh Shoag Milo Yira. The lion has roared, who is not afraid? It's a reference to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We talk about this before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is compared to a lion. We also find that Ribbono Shel Olam is compared to a nesher, to an eagle. Pasuk in Parshas Hazinu, Kinesher Yori Kinoyag is all of Yerachev, like an eagle that hovers over his nest. Or like it says in Parshas Yisroi, V'asa Eschem al Kamfei Nishorim, I lifted you on the wings of eagles, V'avi Eschem a lion, I brought you to me. Ribbono Shel Olam comparing himself to a nesher. We also see Hashem compared to an Adam in the Pasuk in Yechezkel. It says, Olav, sitting on the throne, was a Demus Kemarai Adam, was an image like the image of man. So we find that Ribbono Shel Olam compared to these images that were on his throne, the Aryeh, the Nesher, the Adam. What does all this represent? There are four stages in the avodah of a person as the person ascends the ladder of avodas Hashem. Chazal tell us derech eretz kadma la Torah. Derech eretz must precede Torah. So what does that mean? That means that matters bein adam l'chaveh, right? Matters that are between interperson, that affect interpersonal relationships, a person has to be a mensch before the person approaches Torah. Meaning that every person has a chaya within. We have a chaya, a wild animal within ourselves. That chaya. There's a mission in Pirkei Avos that says that if not for Moiroah Shel Malchus, if not for the fear of the kingdom, Ishes Re'ehu Chayim Below, people would swallow each other up. Meaning we have a wild animal inside of us that would like to devour other people. It's that the wild animal within us drives us to arrogance, to anger, to pride. And in order to overcome that, we need Moiroah Shel Malchus. We need the fear of kingdom. The kingdom of Malchus Shemayim. The kingdom of heaven. So that first stage of Yiddishkeit, that first stage of Avodah, before we even approach Torah, is a person serving Hashem as Hashem being our lion. The Gemara says in Masechtas Chagiga that these four images that are on the on the heavenly throne, each one of them is a king. The lion is the king of the chayas, he's the king of the wild animals. The ox is the king of the behemoths, of the domesticated animals. The nesher is the king of the birds. And Adam is the king of creation. So, that first stage of Avodas Hashem, when a person works on controlling and ruling their inner chaya, their inner wild animal, that we shouldn't be arrogant, that we shouldn't be proud, and we shouldn't be angry. What we need for that is we need to serve the Rebbeinu Shlom as a lion. The Rebbeinu Shlom should be the king over our chaya. That we should control the wild animal within. And that's why the pasuk says, "Arye shog mi lo yira." When the liar roars, who's not afraid? The lion brings about this meirah shel malchus, this fear of the kingdom of heaven. That puts the wild animal that is within us in control. So in that stage, the Rebbeinu Shlom is compared to a lion. And that's why Yehuda is compared to a lion, because Yehuda did not allow his pride to get to him. He controlled his pride and was Moida. He confessed to being the one that was impregnated Tamar. Since he controlled his inner chaya, he's now called Gur Aryeh Yehuda. Yehuda is an Aryeh, because he's Melech over his chaya. He was Melech over his wild animal, over his inner wild animal, his inner wild animal of pride. The next stage in a person's Avodas Hashem is to control their inner behemah. We all have within us the animal that drives us towards physical pleasures, towards animalistic pleasures. And for that, Chazal tell us, Hashem says, "Barasi Yetzahara, I created the Yetzahara," that's specifically the Yetzahara of Taiva, of desire to physical pleasures. "Barasi Torah Tavlin, I created the Torah as his antidote." So it's impossible to overcome the inner animal without Torah. So Derech Eretz Kadma La Torah, that's talking about our interpersonal relationships. For that, we need to control the Chaya. That needs to be done before we approach Torah. But then we have our intrapersonal issues, which are Taiva, that's the inner behemoth. For that, we need the Torah to control it, Torah and mitzvahs to control that. So at that stage in a person's life, at that stage in a person's avodah, a person is serving the Rebbeinu Shlom as a shor. Meaning that the Rebbeinu Shlom should be the melech over my behemah. The shor is the king over behemahs. The Rebbeinu Shlom at that stage of my life is the shor. I'm making the Rebbeinu Shlom the melech over my behemahs, my animalism. And that's why Yosef HaTzadik is called a shor. Because Yosef controlled his taiva. When he was tested with his master's wife, he controlled his taiva. He's called a shor, because a shor is the melech over behemoth. So at that stage, in a person's avodah, the Rebbeinu Shlom is their shor. The Rebbeinu Shlom is the melech over my behemoth. Once a person has gone through those first two levels of controlling his chaya, his inner wild animal, and controlling his behemoth, now the person has to move on. And now, since the person has has taken care of the sur meira, he has set aside the evil, the bad, now is the time for asay toiv. Now is the time for the person to soar heavenward. Now is the time for the person to soar into matters of ruchnius, to do mitzvahs and masam toivim and learn Torah and daven. The person should soar heavenward. Which is represented by the Nesher. Now the Ribbono Shel Olam is the person's Nesher. He's the king of my soaring heavenward, the king of the birds. Then, after accomplishing that, comes the level of Adam. And the level of Adam is, the Tiferet Shlomo says, that even Malachim, even angels, which are also on that level of Nesher, they're Bali Knafayim, they're winged creatures, even angels only sing to Hashem when things are good. When things are good for Yidden, that's when the angels sing to Hashem. But when things don't look good, they don't sing to Hashem. An Adam, the ultimate man, is someone who sings to the Ribbono Shel Olam through thick and thin, through times of darkness and times of light, through times of difficulty. Adam is a person that has absolute faith in the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the Ribbono Shel Olam knows what is right and the Ribbono Shel Olam knows what is good. That is the ultimate level of a Yid. To go through the level of where the Ribbono Shel Olam is their Aryeh, where he controls his wild animal within. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam becomes the person's shor, where the Ribbono Shel Olam is the melech over the person's bahamias, where he controls his taivus. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam becomes the person's nesher, where the person can soar heavenward through delving into ruchnius, into spirituality. But ultimately, the person is to reach the level called Adam, which is higher than the angels, higher than all flying creatures. And that is to be able to sing to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to accept the Ribbono Shel Olam's will, whether we like it or not, whether we understand it or not. And this is what we said when the Ribbono Shel Olam offered us the Torah Kedosha. We said, Nasa v'nishma, kol asher dibur Hashem nasa. Whatever Hashem says, we will do. V'nishma, and then we will understand. That was the Madrega of Adam. That's when we reached the level of Adam. When we said Nasa before Nishma. We said we're willing to do whatever Hashem says, whether we understand it or not. Afterwards, we'll try to understand it. But if we don't understand it, we could always fall back on Nasa. But Nasa is our priority. V'nishma, and then we'll try to understand. And the Yid is supposed to try to understand. But if we don't understand, we always fall back on our primary and our priority, which is Nasa. We can now appreciate there's a Maharsha in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. The Maharsha says that the Korban HaOmer that we offer right after we came out of Mitzrayim, that we offer right after on the second day of Pesach, is a barley offering. Whereas the Mincha, the flour offering that we bring on Shavuos, the Mincha Chadasha is a wheat offering. And the Maharsha explains, because when we came out of Mitzrayim, we were behemoths. We were on a level of animals. That's why we offered machal behema, we offered animal food. Barley is animal food. But as we went through the days of the Sefira and we finally come to Matan Torah, we reach the level of Adam. And now we offer machal Adam, we offer human food, people food. Because when we left Mitzrayim, according to what we're now, we can understand that when we left Mitzrayim, our main avoda was to subjugate our bahamias. Our main avoda was to subjugate and control our animalism. At that point in our life, the Rebbeinu Shlom was our shor. The Rebbeinu Shlom was our ox. It was through him that we were able to control. He became the melech over our animalism. But by Kabbalah's HaTorah, when we said Nasa v'Nishma, that's when we became Adam. And so we offer Machal Adam. And it's specifically because we said Nasa v'Nishma, we reached this level of Adam. That's why we were Zoicha to the Torah, not the angels. Because they're only on the level of Nesher. They soar to great heights, but they can't come to the level of Adam, which can sing Shira at night, just like during the day. And this is why Moshe Rabbeinu refused to allow the Torah to be given on a day that didn't have a night. It had to be Kabbalah's Torah has to be Leiloi Imoi. When the Rebbeinu Shlom says V'kidashtam Hagen Mumachar, it has to be Leiloi Imoi. It has to be a day that is preceded by a night. Night and then day, in other words, is Nasa v'Nishma. Nighttime is a time of Nasa. I will do whatever Hashem says, whether I understand it or not. And then comes Nishma, which is the time of understanding, which is daytime, clarity. But my priority is Nasa. That's the Kedusha of a Yid, the Kiddashtam Hayom Umachar. Moshe Rabbeinu is defining what is the Kedusha of man. The Kedusha of man is Leilo Yimoy. It has to be a Laila followed by a Yom, Nasa V'Nishma. Our Torah, which is given to a nation of a Nasa V'Nishma, has to be given through Leilo Yimoy. It has to be a night that precedes a day. And that's why Chazal say that Moshe Hoshev Yom Echad Midato, he added another day because of Dato, because if it would be a day of only daytime, that would be a Kabbalah Satoyah with Das. We don't want a Kabbalah Satoyah with Das, which means with understanding. We want a Kabbalah Satoyah without Das, without our own understanding, because that's what sets us aside from the Malachim. It sets us above the Malachim. We're Adam, we're not a Nesher. This level that Moshe Rabbeinu brought to Klal Yisrael, this level of Leiloi Imoi, this level of Nasa V'Nishma, is called Lo Yodanu Ma. We don't know anything. And nevertheless, we're going to do it anyway. Kol Hashadiber Hashem Nasa. Lo yodanu ma, we don't need to know anything. So now we understand that the reason why Bnei Yisrael made the mistake of the Egel was because they didn't, Moshe Rabbeinu remained with his, he was consistent that his life was a life of Leilo Imoy, and the 40 days that he went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah had to be Leilo Imoy. Because Leilo Imoy is Nasa V'Nishma. But Klal Yisrael let go of the Leilo Imoy. They counted the first day. And all of a sudden, when they saw that Moshe Rabbeinu, and it made, the Satan made it appear as if Moshe Rabbeinu was no longer with them, they didn't believe that they could hold on to this level of Adam. And they wanted, they decided that we can no longer serve Hashem on this lofty level of Adam. Let's go back to the Avodah that we served Hashem when we came out of Mitzrayim. When we came out of Mitzrayim, we served Hashem as a shor to control that Hashem was the melech over our bahamias, that Ribbono Shel Olam was the king over our animalism. That was enough of an avodah. We don't have to soar into the heavens, into matters of ruchnias. We definitely don't have the ability to come to the level of Adam, of an Asa V'Nishma, of singing Shira at night. The concept of Leilo Imoy is too lofty for us. So they said, they came to Har and said, Kuma Seilanu Elohim, you know, let's make a god, let's make an ox. Let's just worship the Ribbono Shel Olam as the ox, the way we worshipped him when we came out of Mitzrayim, where our service was all about controlling our bahamias. Nothing more than that. That's what the eagle was. Serving the shor. The Kabbalim say that that was the eagle. The eagle was the shor Sheva Merkava. They were worshipping the shor of the Merkava. And that's why they said, Eile Elohecho Yisrael Asher Alucha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. This is your God Yisrael that you served when you left Mitzrayim. That's what level we were on. Let's go back to that level. Kizem Moshe Ha'ish, because Moshe, who's the level of man, Lo Yodanu Ma Ha'yaloi. He had this level of Lo Yodanu Ma that we don't need to know anything. We don't need to understand anything. But we don't have that. We don't have the Leila Yimai. He has the Leila Yimai. We don't have the Leila Yimai. We can't serve the Ribbono Shel Olam on that level. We're going to stick to the, we're going to go back and serve Hashem as a shor. And that was considered avodah zarah for them. Since they were capable of a greater level, they were capable of serving the Ribbono Shel Olam as an adam. Therefore, serving the Ribbono Shel Olam on a lower level, on the level of shor, it was considered avodah zarah for them. It's a foreign service for them. That's not the service that is expected of them. And it's a tremendous pachad, this message, because it comes to teach us that any time that we underperform in our service of Hashem, we're bordering on the Chet HaEgel. That is what the Chet HaEgel was. Underperforming in avodas Hashem, they should have served Hashem as Adam, and they served Hashem as Shor. Chazal say that this is what the pasuk is referring to in Tehillim when the pasuk says, "Ani amarti elikim atem, uvenei Adam kulchem." Hashem says, "I thought that you were godly, and that you were bnei Adam. Achin ka Adam temusim." behold, you will die like man. But according to what we're saying, it's much deeper. At the time of Kabbalah Satoira, Hashem thought that we were godly, that we were actually Bnei Adam. We reached that level of Adam that can sing at night. Leilo Yimoi. Nas Venishma. Lo Yodanu Ma. But Ochein Ka'odam Temusin, but that level of Ka'odam that we wanted to be like man, that died. And we decided to serve Hashem like a shor. And that's considered Avodah Zarah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to defend us, he said to the bunch of them, what do you want from them? You just took them out of Mitzrayim. You just taught them this avodah of you being their shor, you being the melech over their bahamias. Why do you expect so much from them? That was Moshe Rabbeinu's defense for Klal Yisrael. So the bechorah of a yid, the priority of a yid, needs to be nasa and then nishma. Nasa, I will do whatever the Rebbeinu Shlom says, whether I understand it or not, whether it looks good or it looks bad. Nasa is my priority. But nishma, and I'll understand, I'll try to understand. That's secondary. Laila is first and then Yoim. That's why it says Moshe Hoisif Yoim Echod Midate. Moshe added a Yoim Echod. What's Yoim Echod? It says in the Pasuk, Vayi Erev, Vayi Boiker, Yoim Echod. First there's an Erev and then there's a Boiker. Leiloi Imoi. There needs to be a Laila before the Yoim. Laila is our priority. To serve Hashem when in darkness, when we don't understand. And then is Yom. If we understand, that's Gevaldik. But we always have to be able to fall back on Laila. Laila is our priority. That's the order of priority. That's what the Bechorah of Klal Yisrael. Bechorah means priority. And when we lost that priority at the Chet HaEgel, when we didn't have Leila Yimoy, and we said, Ki Zeh Moshe HaIsh Lo Yadanim HaHoyaloi, let's go back to the Avodah of Shor, because we can't serve Hashem on a level of Adam, we lost our Bechorah. We lost our priority. And that's why the word Li is mentioned so many times in this parasha, where Hashem takes away the avodah from the Bechorim and gives it over to the Levim, because the Rebbeinu Shlom says, what I want is an avodah of Li. Li is Laila Yom, first night and then day. That's my order of priority. That's my Bechorah. Laila and then Yom. First night and then day. And that's why a Levi is called a Levi, because they were able to hold on to their priorities. They didn't worship the Egel. They remained Adam. And that's why a Levi is a Lamed Vav Yud, which is Laila v'Yom. First Laila and then day. The Levim are going to take place of the Bechorim. We lost our priority. Now Yaakov represents the level of Nasa. Yaakov ish tom yoshev oyholim. Yaakov was a tomim. A tomim is a person who lives and serves Hashem with simplicity, whether he understands it or not. That's the madrega of Yaakov. He serves Hashem with tamimus. Yisrael are the letters li rosh. I have a head. I have a head. Meaning I want to understand. So in a certain sense, Yisrael is greater than Yaakov. It's, Yisrael is able to understand. But Yaakov is the priority. And it's important for a Yid to have both Yaakov and Yisrael. Yaakov to serve Hashem with Tmimus, Nasa and Nishma, we don't need to understand. But secondary should be Yisrael. It's good to understand. We should try to understand, which we always need to be able to fall back on the Yaakov. And that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom said to Yaakov, Shimcha Yaakov, your name remains Yaakov. That needs to remain your priority. Your name should also be Yisrael. You have the right to try to understand. But there's nothing more that the Tsar Shel Esav wants than Lo Yikarei Oid Shimcha Yaakov. Your name should no longer be Yaakov. Kiyam Yisrael, your name should only be Yisrael. The Tsar Shel Esav wants us to want to always understand. And that we shouldn't serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with simplicity. We shouldn't have that priority. We shouldn't have the Bechira. So Yaakov and Yisrael is the same thing as Nasa v'Nishma. Yaakov is the Nasa, and Yisrael is the Nishma. So when Yaakov, after the Tsar Shel Esav asks Yaakov, what's your name? He says, my name is Yaakov. Yaakov ish tom yoshev oyeholim. I'm going to serve the Rebbeinu Shlom with simplicity, whether I understand it or not. Yaakov says to the Tsar Shel Esav, what's your name? And the Tsar Shel Esav answers his name. My name is Lomo Zeh Tishal. My name is that you should always ask, why is this? Never accept the Rebbeinu Shlom's ways the way they are. Always, you must always want to understand. You must always need to understand. Lomo Zeh Tishal. You should always ask, why is this? That's the name of the Satan. The Satan wants us to forfeit our priority of Nasa, our priority of Yaakov. And that's why Yaakov Avinu said to Esav, Michra chayoyim es b'chayros choli. Sell me like the day that the night precedes the day. Sell me the Bechira, that it should be Li, that it should be Laila and Yoim. To which Esav responds, just like his Sar. Hine anoichi hoylech lamus. The anoichi Hashem alekecha, which is the mitzvah of Amuna, to believe and to have faith, even in times of darkness. That's going to die. I'm not going to be able to hold on to that. What is my Bechira? V'lamazah li Bechira. Lamazah, always asking why is this? The need, the necessity to understand, that's my Bechira. So when the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted to give us the Torah, and the Torah can only be given to a nation that is Adam, and only a nation that is a Nasa Nishma Diga nation, only a nation that is a Yaakov and a Yisrael Diga nation. The Rebbeinu Shlom says, Koisoyim ar leveis Yaakov v'sage levnei Yisrael. You should only give this to a Beis Yaakov and a Bnei Yisrael, people who have the Beis Yaakov as their priority. The Tmimus, the Yaakov ish tom yoshev oyeholim is their priority, and their Yisrael is secondary. Their Nasa is before their Nishma. Those are the people you should give the Torah to. And tell them, you should tell them You saw what I did to Mitzrayim. That you were able to serve me then as a shor. And then I made you into I elevated you to the level where you were able to serve me as a nesher. I lifted you to tremendous heights. Va'ato, and now there's a new avoida of Adam. Avoida of Nasa v'nishma, of not needing to understand. There's a word from the Sefer Yatzev Avram. I believe that's the name of the Sefer. He says a beautiful word. He asked the Kasha. We say by davening, there's no one like our God, no one like our Master, no one like our King, no one like our Savior. And then we say, who is like our God? Who is like our King? Who is like our Master? Who is like our Savior? So he asks, it should be the other way around. First we should ask, who is like Hashem? Mi kelekeinu, and then we should answer, ein kelekeinu. There is no one like our God. Why do we first say there's no one like our God and then ask who is like our God? And he says exactly what we've been saying until now, that the avoda of a yid is that the way we serve Hashem is we come in first with an absolute knowledge, ein kelekeinu, ein kadenu. There's no one like the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Nase, kol ha-shedibur Hashem nase. With tamimus. After we have that is our priority, then we can start trying to understand. Micha lekenu, micha deneinu. Who is like Hashem? And then, noidela lekenu, noidela deneinu. We're going to thank the Rabbi Nishleilam. Whether it's enke lekenu, which is we understand it or we don't, or micha lekenu, where we do understand it, it doesn't matter. Noidela lekenu, we're always going to thank the Rabbi Nishleilam. He says that every time we say Amen, which is our declaration, is an expression of Emunah, what we're saying that Amen is Rosh HaTevis, Ein, Mi, Noida. First is Ein, then Mi, and then Noida. Paroi, he says, first said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma V'Koyle. Who is Hashem that I should listen to him? He started out with the Mi. After he was clobbered with 10 Makas, he came to the realization that there is no one like the Rebbeinu Shlom, that Ein. Manteda ki Ein Kashem Bechol, that there is no one like our God. And then, after Kriyas Yamsev, there was even a Noida. He went and confessed and was Moida to the Rebbeinu Shlom. But his order is Mi Ein Noida. That's why it says, by Paroi, May Ein Paroi, the Shalach Olam, Paroi refuses. It uses the word May Ein. His approach is Mi Ein and then Noida. But the approach of a Yid is Amen. Ein, Mi, and then Noida. Now, Torah Shebiksav is the written Torah is it really it's Sosom. It's difficult to understand. It represents the Nasa. It represents Lila. It's like it's closed. It's very difficult to understand. Torah Shebal Peh, right? So Torah Shebiksav is the Ein. It's the Ein Kelekeinu. Torah Shebal Peh, the oral Torah, that's the farvos, that's the Torah that asks why. And it explains. Torah Shebal Peh is the me. And Tehillim is the Noida. And the longest Parash in the Torah, and the longest Masechta in Torah Shebaal Peh, and the longest Kapitel in Tehillim are all 176. Calculate the Gematria. Ein is Aleph Yud Nun is 61. Mi Mem Yud is 50. That's 111. Noida, the Nun is 50. We're at 161. Vav and Dalet together is 10. That's 171. And Hey is 6. It's 5. That's 176. Ein Mi Noida is 176. That is the order of a Yid. Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebaal Peh, and Tehillim. Ein, Mi, and Noida. So Rivka, who was the mother of Yaakov and Esav, she was the one that saw that the Yaakov needs to be the primary over Esav, what Yitzchak didn't see. The Pasuk says, Rivka is Aim Yaakov Esav. Aim is Rosh HaTevis. Ain me. The order of Yaakov the Bechor, Yaakov having the Bechor, and then Esav. Yaakov is the Yaakov Ishtam. Esav is the Lamazah. That's Aim Yaakov Esav. First the Ain and then the Me. And says Rashi, what is this Pasuk coming to teach us? Ain Yodei Ama. It's coming to teach us that a Yid can say, I don't understand what. That is Malamdenu. That's what it teaches us. The fact that Yaakov precedes Esav, that the Ein precedes the Me, is teaching us that a Yid can say, Eini Yodei Ama. I don't know what. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. I'm serving the Rebbeinu Shalom with Tmimus. Nasa V'Nishma. Leiloi Imoi. That's what Li is, first Laila and then Yoim. Is as Moshe Rabbeinu was, the Ha'ish Lo Yodanu Ma. He also had the Lo Yodanu Ma. He also had the, we don't need to know why. Because Moshe had the Leila Yimai. So Leib Shta Helfen, that we should be Zoyche to serve the Rebbeinu Shleilam as an Adam. With Nasa V'Nishma, with the Ein before the Me, with the Leilo Yimoy. And to understand that if we serve the Rebbeinu Shalom at anything, if we underperform in any way, we're Chas V'Shalom bordering on a Chet HaEgel. We shouldn't suffice with smallness. We should always strive for the maximum that we can do. To serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam to our maximum ability. And that Tzchus, we should all be Zeiche to a Kabbalah Al Toyde B'Shleimus and to be us Mashiach Tzedkenu B'Mehera B'Yameinu Amen.